praise you as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We praise you as the one who is worthy to be praised. In all your goodness, in your perfection, we are aware that we're not as we should be. Each one of us, we fall short, and so we pray for your forgiveness this morning, and we thank you that you are so generous in offering it. And even as we ask you to forgive us what we've done wrong, we also seek to forgive those who've wronged us this morning. And we would need your help to do that, your grace and your love to do that. Pray that where we're weak, you would strengthen us. Where we're overwhelmed, you would bring comfort and provision. We love you, Lord, and we're praying these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may have a seat. And kids, could you stay for a couple minutes? Just stay for a couple minutes. It's a special Sunday, because we have a special speaker this morning. We have Pastor Samuel Kawalia here from Uganda, and he is a pastor who started a school and started ministries over in Uganda, and then a long story that we aren't going to tell this morning, but Samuel and I happened to meet in Knoxville, Iowa when he came to the United States for the first time, and it was a divine connection. I think it was 2018 or something like that, 17. It was a while ago. He's been back here several times. We've sent teams there. And last year, we did a Thanksgiving offering where we took an extra offering and put it on top of everything and took one of our Sunday offerings, and instead of putting it towards our normal budget stuff, we put it on top of what we already give away or working here. And it was, we took half of the money, we gave it to Pastor Samuel's ministry, half the money to Many Hands for Haiti, and then money came in at the end of the year. And so the elder board decided at the beginning of this year, you know what, we tried to give away more, but it like came back in. And so we took that same amount, that same $27,000, and we gave half of it again to Haiti and half of it again to Uganda. And we were there, my family and I were in Uganda this summer, and we could see where they used to have, they have the school that Samuel starts now is two schools in two locations, 240 kids, most of them they can't afford school. And the youngest, the littlest of ones were meeting in what amounts to a shed, a garage and a shed. And so to this morning, I just saw these videos for the first time. Samuel provided videos from there. So if we can go to the first video with the school and get to see what happened instead of a shed now. So that was Pastor Sarah. She's runs the school, the primary school there. And so that, I'm grateful for your generosity that was able to happen. Also, our family was able to go see the first well that, I think it was from VBS offerings that were put in 7 years ago, and it's still functioning, and the village still came out like pouring out their love to us as if the well was there for the first time last week. I was very humbled and amazed. But there's another video that has to do with the wells, and because Lisa Willis's family, Mike and Lisa Willis, in honor of Lisa's mom, Maureen, sponsored putting in a well this year, and our family happened to be there when it was launched. So that is part of this next video. It's just clean water. You know, from our perspective, it's just clean water. And they had two high government officials travel to see who is it that's putting in these wells because of the impact it makes. And as different people spoke at this thing, one of the village chairmen, they said, "Oh, there's another village chairman. Do you have anything to share?" And he said, "If you hadn't asked me to share, I was going to raise my hand and say, please let my village be next. Please let my village be next." And so I'm just grateful for a congregation that is being generous and making a difference. One last thing that was mentioned in the first video, but probably easy to miss, is that our Thanksgiving offering mostly went to those buildings going up. Did First give that money for that playground? That playground wasn't there when we were there.
It wasn't there.
That wasn't there. So that's new. That's not from us. The playground's not us. But he mentioned that some of the money went to buy land. A church that had got started kept getting kicked off their land, renting it. Once they put up a structure, then the place will just kick you off because then they want to keep the structure. And we bought land for a church, and we went to that church, and the church was about to fold. And the church was full, mostly of people young, very young. And as we were going to it, there's things that you could see, like that's where a witch doctor is. And it's like, witch doctor, a little bit longer, witch doctor, their church, witch doctor, witch doctor. And people are coming to Christ, coming out of, witch doctors are basically worshiping Satan, to come to God. So it's not just a ministry of we're doing things for people who have great needs physically, even though that would be enough. But we're doing this, these ministries are spreading the gospel. And so what I realized when I went over there is Pastor Samuel's actually a pretty big deal. He comes across very humble, but he's a bishop. What a bishop is in the biblical is a pastor of pastors. And he's a pastor of pastors, and he has planted many churches, and we had gathered many pastors, and they say, "My spiritual father, Bishop Kowalia, my spiritual father, Bishop Kowalia," and he's just loving the Lord and spreading the love of God. And so would you help me welcome and honor Pastor Samuel?
Thank you.
Now, Samuel, is there anything else? I know once you get to the message, you're going to focus on the message.
Yes.
Yes. So is there anything else you want to share about your ministries before that?
You've spoken much of it. You've spoken about the pastors. But as well, this morning, we have a ministry table behind. You would love to sponsor a child. You can help a project as well. and whatever you feel the Lord leading you to support Uganda. The need is evident. Many communities need wells. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you. Now, I am going to dismiss the kids. And as I'm dismissed, so you can go to celebrate kids now. I'm also, as you go, I'm going to invite Melinda Voss to come up. Melinda went on the very first team to Uganda. She and that team have much more courage than I. It was nice to know this is what we're doing. They didn't know if someone would really pick them up at the airport, like he said, that first time. And she has actually been on two trips to Uganda. She is one of our elders. She and her husband, Brian, were full-time missionaries way back when. And she is going to, we're going through the book of Mark. She's going to read the scripture and pray for Samuel this morning.
Good morning. So I am actually, you know, doing the young person thing and reading off my phone. So we are actually going to read out of the New King James Version, hence the phone. I don't have that version of the Bible. I'm sorry. So we are going to be in Mark 10, verses 32 to 45. Thank you. Help me out, Samuel. Okay, here we go. Now they were on the road going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus was going before them, and they were amazed. And as they followed, they were afraid. Then he took the 12 aside and began to tell them the things that would happen to him. Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and to the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him to the Gentiles. And they will mock him and scourge him and spit on him and kill him. And the third day he will rise again. Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him, saying, Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask. And he said to them, What do you want me to do for you? They said to him, Grant us that we may sit, one on your right hand and the other on your left, in your glory. But Jesus said to him, You do not know what you ask. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? They said to him, We are able. So Jesus said to them, You will indeed drink the cup that I drink, and will be, and with the baptism I am baptized with, you will be baptized. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it is for those for whom it is prepared. And when the 10 heard it, they began to be greatly displeased with James and John. But Jesus called them to himself and said to them, You know that those who are considered rulers over the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you. But whoever desires to become great among you shall be your servant. And whoever of you desires to be first shall be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, you are so good, and we are so blessed this morning to have Pastor Samuel with us. So, Lord, I pray right now that your Holy Spirit would anoint him with your word, that his enthusiasm and his power and his authority is coming directly from you, Lord. And, Father, I pray whatever our hearts need to hear today, Lord, if that means to be stirred up in whatever direction, Lord, that you would show us that direction, Lord. Father, you are so good, and we love you so much. In your name we pray, Lord. Amen.
Thank you so much, Melinda. I just want to extend my special thanks to Cerebral Family for the partnership these 7 years. It has brought about great changes in my own village communities, and I'm so grateful for the team that was sent to come and check on me. And also, recent trip with Pastor Andrew and Mama Camille. We call her Mama Camille in our country. She's a mama. And the ministry they did to us, it was so great. And thank you for sending them to us. God has been so good to us. I'm no longer a visitor here, but I'm a family member. Anyway, I have only 20 minutes to condense a two-hour message. You need to pray with me if I go beyond the line and say, Samuel, you're going beyond the lines. But don't worry, it's a special meeting today. Moreover, from Uganda, it's a special service. But before I start off, I want to agree in prayer with somebody here that came in this house. We've gone through the book of Mark, and we've seen great things the Lord has done to the people. He healed the woman with an issue of blood. He healed many people. I believe God is still in the business of touching lives. So today, if you feel something not right in your mind, in your body, please would you bow your head as we pray together. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for every man, every woman, every young person in this house, God. Whoever came in here, have a burden, Lord, I pray, let the burden be lifted in the name of Jesus. I speak peace and restoration. I speak life in the name of Jesus. Let there be healings and deliverances among your people. They came here for a service. May this be another service. In Jesus' name we pray. Last time when I was here, I spoke something on the lines of being called to the wall. It was a message driving us to understand the place where God has positioned us. And today I will continue from the same message, a little bit part two of what I spoke about last time. I know God has positioned us here for such a time like this. Never forget that. And the time we have here, we don't know how long we'll be here. Amen. We have seen people come and people go. But the time you are in this place, utilize the kairos, the opportune moment, and do what you ought to do. Because God positions you in a place for such a time like that. If it needs you to smile to somebody, smile to somebody. If it needs you to encourage someone, encourage someone. If it needs you to give, give generously for the cause of Christ. So in our portion of scripture today, being marked, and this is what I felt on my heart, marked for a mission. I know you've been marked in many ways ever since the year started. But this time around today, you are marked for a mission. In these beginning verses, verses 32 to 34, we want to have them again on screen. Verse 32, now they were on the road going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus was going before them, and they were amazed. And as they followed, they were afraid. Then he took the 12 aside again and began to tell them the things that would happen to him. 33, behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him to the Gentiles. And they will mock him and scourge him and spit on him and kill him, and on the third day will rise again. We see the beginning of the climax of Jesus' mission. Everybody knows that Christ came for a mission. And it didn't matter what would befall on him. We see in this portion of scripture, he is taking the lead. Others were surprised and amazed, yet others were afraid. Then he turns them aside and tells them what would befall on him. Christ to be beaten, flogged, to be crucified, to be killed. Do you know what? Once you are marked for a mission, it doesn't matter the troubles ahead of you. And each one of us, folks, apart from Christ, each one of us has a task to accomplish in this life. You are not born by accident. You are not a cerebral just to waste time. You are not just here to come in and go. You are here for a mission. And my prayer this morning, may you discover the will of God for your life. The will of God. You are not just coming in to sit here. You are coming in here for a mission. I wrote down something like this. There is a divine task for every one of us today. And once you discover your life's mission, you are convinced, you are persuaded, and you will never be diverted from the course of your life. There is a will of God for each one of us. Something that you will do with such passion and enthusiasm. Something that you are persuaded of. You are not ready to let it go. You say, Samuel, this
is what I feel God is telling me to do. There is a mission for each one of us. Don't forget that. And Jesus knew for sure what would befall him. In verse 38, scripture says, "You do not know what you ask. Are you able to drink the cup of suffering that I'm going to drink? And the baptism of suffering, I'm going to be baptized?" Jesus knew that in this mission, there will be a cup of suffering. There will be a baptism of suffering. Now let me tell you, accomplishing God's mission does not come on a silver plate. It may need you to get out of your comfortable zone and accomplish the will of your Father. But Jesus was not distracted even when he knew there is suffering ahead of me. And guess what? There was some discouragement along the way. In his team of the 12 was two sons of Zebedee. We get this from verses 37 to 41. I have two parts of my message today. The first part says, there is a task you ought to accomplish in this life. Life on earth is a mission. Okay? Life on earth is a what? Number two, when you're being marked for a mission, why do you do what you do? Why do I do what I do? What is my hidden agenda when running this mission? We see two sons of Zebedee. Jesus is speaking about accomplishing the mission ahead of him with all suffering, with all giving his life as a ransom. And we see two of his members. One says, sir, can I ask something? I say, yes, go ahead and ask. Okay, in your glory, would you permit me and my brother, one to sit on your right, another to sit on your left? It doesn't match with what Christ was telling them. Now, people can team up on a mission, but with a different agenda. Are we together? These guys may be sought recognition. They sought positions of authority. They needed to be seen by people. Are we together? But Jesus rectified their mind and taught them the right way. That, folks, it's not the way you think. For you to sit on my right and my left is not about me. It's about my Father. This brings us to this great task, church, today. Why do you do what you do in the kingdom? In Luke chapter 17, we want to have that scripture, I never gave it to you. Luke 17, verse 10. So learn this lesson. After doing all that is commanded of you, simply say, we are undeserving of special praise, for we are just doing what is expected of us and fulfilling our duties. I'm reading another version, don't worry. After you have done what has been commanded to you, Jesus says, just say we are undeserving any glory. Folks, when you're being marked on a mission, it's not about what people say about you. Because you're not seeking people's recognition, you are just seeking his approval. Because one day he will say, thank you, good and faithful servant. That is our passion to each one of us. Not like James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who had a different mindset. When you have a clear mindset of ministry, you are going to accomplish a lot for the kingdom. In Uganda, I've seen people serving alongside me, seeking a thank you from me. And they say, Pastor, I did all this, you didn't recognize me. Then I tell them, you didn't do it to me. If you knew whom you were serving, you wouldn't seek my approval. Praise God. It's not good to thank people for what they have done. Okay, it's not bad to thank people for what they have done, as long as it is not an inner ego in somebody's heart. Do you understand what I mean? That all we do, whatever we do in the kingdom, it is for him and him alone. Even if somebody has not praised me, I will not lose my strength. I'll keep doing what I'm supposed to do because I know why I do what I do. And to each one of us, church, to all that you do for the kingdom, I believe it is for his glory. And my encouragement to you, keep doing what God has put on your mind to do. Praise the name of Jesus. And Christ taught us the right way. Part three of my message this morning. The oil of being marked for a mission is servanthood. The oil of being marked for a mission is servanthood. Don't forget where I started from. Life on earth is a mission. Each one of us ought to discover their mission, isn't it? Jesus had his own mission and he did it well. We don't demand anything from him. He did his mission. He's no more. Now it is up to us to run our course of life and finish well. That was the first part. The second part was our intentions, our agenda. Why do we do what we do for the kingdom? Praise God. And now number three, the oil of being marked for a mission is servanthood. When the sons of Zebedee sought recognition to sit on the right or left of Christ, Christ tells them, it's not like that. It's not about lording it over others. It's not about manipulating others. It's not about commanding others. You've got to be involved. You've got to be part. Praise God. Let's read these verses. Verse 41. Mark 10, 41. And when the ten heard it, they began to be greatly displeased with James and John. Now, he speaks about the ten disciples. They were not happy at the request of John and James. But did you know that Jesus is so good that these boys that had a different mindset, later on, Jesus taught them the right way, they became his inner circle. Do you remember that? When he went to the mountain, there was John, there was James. And even when Jesus went to heaven, James took over leadership of the church in Jerusalem. John became the beloved disciple who wrote the Gospel of John, the book of Revelation. God can change your life forever as long as you understand the reason why he has called you, and even when you understand why you do what you do for the kingdom. So now, verse 42. But Jesus called them to himself and said, you know that those who are considered rulers over the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be among you, but whoever desires to become great among you shall be your servant. Verse 44, and whoever of you desires to be first shall be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus is teaching us the principle of servanthood. It's not about telling others to do it. It is about us to be involved. And this is my prayer, celebrate. If you want to seek the will of God in this house, look out, what is your church involved with? Then be part of what God is doing in your assembly. Be involved. Praise God. There is a call to serve. I will never forget this scripture. I never gave it to you. It is 1 Corinthians, I think, a little bit jumping over as I finish. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1. Hopefully it is the one. Don't forget, I never planned this. Sorry. I never planned this. But it says, verse 1, chapter 4, verse 1, 1 Corinthians. Let so a man consider us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Paul, a great man who had great revelations, he was caught up in the third heaven. Spiritually, he was very strong in understanding. And then he says, let everybody look at us as servants. Do you know what he meant? In Greek, huperetas. Huperetas were high-class criminals who were chained under the decks of those big ships those times, they acted as under rowers. They were rowing the boat so that the boat would arrive to its destination. They were not about being seen by people that are in the upper deck. They were chained for life. These were prisoners for life, chained under the deck, and their work was to row, to row. There are folks here, God is calling you to just be an under rower, one that makes the mission go to where it's supposed to go, one that runs things. And some of you have been marked for that service. Because of your presence, a lot of things are running well because of you. You are an under rower. You are not after recognition. You are not after being praised. But you feel what you do in your spirit is the will of God for your life. I want to encourage you. Let us serve. Each one of us is here for a mission. And the mission is service. Would you be involved in the life of the church? Possibly you are new in this place. Would you be part of the life of the of Cerebrate? Would you find something to do in the house of God? Would you serve? Let everybody consider us. Not in our classes because of the knowledge we have. Not because of anything. We are under rowers. Our work is to make sure that the ministry keeps going. This is why we keep coming to church. This is why we encourage somebody to be in church. This is why we grab somebody. Let's go to the house of God. You are serving. Most people think, Samuel, I will go to Africa and serve God. God positions you in your Jerusalem. Okay? Your Jerusalem is your Knoxville, your Presentville, your blah, 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 your village. He wants you to, because you're on the mission field. Most people think on the mission field it is Samuel. Let me tell you, you are on the mission field here in Knoxville. Say, I am on the mission field. Yes. And he said, you shall be my witnesses in your Jerusalem, in your Judea, Samaria, and the utmost parts of the earth. Cerebrate has been marked for a mission. First, at home. I see here at the, on the days of the food bank, people walk in. Thank you for feeding the community. And keep on doing such works. But doesn't stop there. Cerebrate goes to Haiti to reach out the needy people, build houses, do something for the kingdom. 7 years ago, we are witnessing 6 villages with clean water. Who knew? My people were taking water like coffee. Do you know how coffee looks like? Of course you know. That's the water I grew up taking. 7 years ago down the road, Cerebral has been marked for a mission. And folks, there are many ways we can be marked for a mission. Not everybody will go, but your generosity, your prayer, Lord, your involvement in the local missions and international missions. At the end of the day, we are accomplishing the will of our Father. You are marked for a mission. Jesus did his part, rejoicing gracefully, irrespective of the pain ahead of him. And all he did, the Bible says, he humbled himself to the death of the cross. He didn't look for accolades. And now he's telling us, for the Son of Man didn't come to be served, but to serve. And he even give his life as a ransom to many. We can pick a leaf from the ministry of Christ. He came to serve and not to be served. Will you serve Christ as long as you live? As I welcome my brother Matt and the team, we want to pray together. I strongly believe each one of us has been called on a mission, and perhaps you're asking, Samuel, what can I do? One of your great presidents said, don't ask what America can do for me, but what can I do for America? And I will say to Cerebrate, don't ask what Cerebrate can do for you, but what can I do for Cerebrate where God has positioned me? Father, we thank you that you have marked each one of us for a mission. There is a task every man, every woman has to accomplish. And Lord, I thank you that there are men and women already working. Lord, I pray for divine strength and encouragement as they carry on the mission of Christ on earth. In the name of Jesus. And Lord, I pray for anyone that hasn't discovered the mission, the life task. I pray, Lord, that you open their eyes to see what is going on here in church. I pray for involvement in every life of this church. May we serve you. And one day, Father, our anticipation will be, thank you, my good and faithful servant. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.